Please turn with me tonight to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. A well familiar verse, well known verse from the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So my subject tonight is the one mediator for sinners, the only one, no other one, the only one, the only way to life, the only way to salvation. But I would like to start with a question. And this is a question asked in the oldest book of the Bible, the book of Job. We don't have time to turn to the passages, but in Job chapter 9, verse 33, Job, a righteous man, please allow me just for the sake of my argument to say the perfect man of his time. This is 2,000 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that man, he said, if only there is someone, he calls him the day's man, the mediator, if only there is someone who will plead for me, if only there is someone who will be between me and God. And he repeats the same. Job 9:33 is also repeated in Job chapter 16, verse 21. And there he says another thing which really should capture our attention. And he said, oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleaded for his neighbor. If only there is someone who could have his hand on man, on one side, but at the same time have his hand also on God. And if only there is someone who could bring the hand of God to be reconciled with the hand of man. That's the question. And that question in all the Old Testament, in 39 books of the Old Testament, that is almost the sole question asked by every believer, by every sinner. Will there be a day when there will be a middleman, a day's man, someone who will bring that liaison, a mediation between God, who is there in heaven, and man who is polluted and who is crushed under his own sins he has brought upon himself. But good news I can say, because that question asked by Job of all times finds its answer in the New Testament. So the cry and the longing of Job in the Old Testament and every book of the Old Testament is fully met where? Here in our passage, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, there is one God. It is like, if I may call it a poem, I don't know if you like poetry, but it's wonderful. The literature, every word, actually there is no verb in the Greek text. It is in italic, even our version, just to give a meaning to it. But even without the verb, it is wonderful. One God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That is how it sounds in the Greek text. So, one God, one mediator between man and between God and man. One mediator. That's why I chose that title. One, the one mediator for sinners. But I hope you notice verse 7. That's why verse 7 and 8, Paul says something there in verse 7. It is in bracket. I don't know why they put it in bracket. It's like it is of less importance. But here it is. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. Which means this is factual. Paul is veracious here. God said it. God inspired it. It is true. It will happen. It is infallible. It is unshakable. God is trustworthy and his truth is trustworthy. What is trustworthy? We preach, we pray for all men. We spoke about it in the morning. We pray for all men. We preach the gospel for all men unto all men. We call all men unto repentance, to faith. That's the basic teaching of the Bible. But also, earlier in verse 4 and 5, verse 3 and 4, we also call men to one absolute truth, that all men may come to believe and to know one absolute truth. In a world of relativism, in a world of pragmatism, in a world of universalism, in a world of plurality and so on, there is one absolute truth everyone must come to know and to believe. Why? Simple answer. We all have the same need. Pray for all men. Preach the gospel for all men. Call all men unto repentance. All men must come to know the same absolute truth. Why? Because we have the same need. All men have one great need. And this is what these verses, verse 5, 6, and 7, are going to explain to us. Very simple. I don't want to lose you. Three headings. The first one, one God. The second one, one mediator. And the third one, one ransom. Nothing else. So the first one, what is Paul telling us in this verse? Verse 5, look at the verse again. It's really, we could spend the night really on every word there. For there is one God. This is a truth that is everywhere in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. You go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, verse 6. Every one of those verses are telling us there is one God. This is a fundamental truth of the Word of God, but it is also the unshakable foundation which should go out from the doors of every church, which should come out from the mouth of every preacher, but should be also the only truth coming out from the mouth of every believer. You die for it. Die for it. There is only one God. One God. Not many gods, but one God. My dear friends, Orthodox, all sound theology, all Orthodox theology begins here. There is one God. The oneness of God, the uniqueness of God, the exclusivity of God, the unity of God, the trinity of God, the threeness of God, of the Godhead. One God in three persons. We do not believe in three gods. It is a big lie. People are putting that lie on Christians. We believe in one God. One God in three persons, from Genesis to Revelation. Even if I have all eternity, I could not explain that to you. But it is not against reason. You can reason about that. You know how you can reason? Oh, the natural man cannot believe the things, spiritual things, because they are understood spiritually. But can I challenge you tonight? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that will be the simplest truth you will discover. One God in three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know why I'm explaining this to you? The only God that is in this world says, there is no other God. Isaiah 45, Very plain there. There is no other God. And that's why in the Ten Commandments, in Exodus chapter 20, the only God that has ever existed, I'm using the word existed, but God has never existed. He has always been there from generation to generation. Psalm 90 verse 1, from generation to generation, thou art God. So the only God that has ever existed and who exists and continue to exist says we shouldn't have any other God before him, before his face, before our face also. My dear friends, I know you know we live in a pluralistic society and world. Many gods, a plethora of gods, a forest of gods, innumerous gods. You are so with some people. You say, "Oh, you believe in God? I am my own God." Have you created yourself? No, you haven't created yourself. Frank Sinatra, the way he put it, "I do it my way." Can you do it your way? You don't have any way. The only way that is given to us is to believe in one God. And this is the God which is presented to us in the Word of God, the Bible. My dear friends, this verse is telling us that the idea that there is a God for this religion and that religion, for this culture and that culture, is a big lie. Some people, for the Middle East, one God. For Asia, one God. For Africans in Africa, one God. For the Westerners in the Western world, one God. So every culture, every race, every color, every continent with its own God. So this passage says there is one God. One God for all people, all colors, all races, all continents, all societies, and all, whatever you take it, wherever you put it, there is only one God. And this God is not the God of the Jews only. When you read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, the Jews thought God was a private property. He is our God, the Goyim. The others are the unclean, the infidels, the impure, the rejected ones. But 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, there is one God for Jews and for Gentiles because there is no difference between the two. All need to be saved because all have the same need. They are sinners and they need to be reconciled with the living God. There is one God. He is personal. He is knowable. Not a kind of God who is distant, disinterested in men and women. The God of the Bible is a personal God. He loves children, he loves adults, he loves men, he loves women, he loves the black, he loves the white. He doesn't have a color, and he doesn't accommodate unto us according to our colors, our moods, our feelings, or our culture. This is not the God you can manipulate or corrupt. You can bribe men, but you cannot bribe the God of the Bible. It's impossible. So this only one God, he is holy, he is perfect, he is powerful, he is relational, he loves to have relationship because he has created us. You don't create something and hate it. But he is also omnibenevolent, omnibenevolent. He loves us. In the way that he created us, he gives us the sun, he gives us rain, he gives us food, he gives us grass, he gives us the nature, the book in pictures, wonderful pictures. All that is free. Did you create it? Did I create it? Created it? No, it's a gift from God. We should the only thing really we should be doing as created beings, as his creatures, is to say, Lord, we give thee thanks. But in our pride and arrogance and ignorance, what do we say? We don't want him. We can manage by ourselves. We can do better things by ourselves. We can create better things by ourselves. But there is one God. And he is knowable. He is personal because he wants us to have fellowship with him. So Paul, under inspiration, says there is only one God for all nations. Can I ask you something? The whole human race is under one God. Do you know him? Are you right with him? Have you ever come to him in repentance? Have you ever yielded your life unto him? Have you ever said to him, Lord, thou art God. I'm a wretched sinner. I need forgiveness of my sins. I need to be washed clean and purified in my heart, in my thoughts. I need to be renewed in my character. I need to be renewed in my nature, because left to myself, I will remain in that polluted nature. I will never be a new person. My character will never be changed. Lord, I pray, but my prayers do not go beyond my nose, because I do not know thee. So there is only one God. My dear brothers and sisters, our problem is not about the existence of God. Can I change your mind with that? Your problem, my problem, if you do not believe in God, your problem is not the existence of God. We can spend again weeks trying to convince you there is God. It is possible. But you know the problem in the Bible is that we are dead in our sins and trespasses, and this is the hardest thing to accept, to admit. Bible says we live in darkness. Our lives are darkness. Me in darkness? Don't you see? I'm a happy person. I have a good job. I have a family. I buy what I want when I want. I eat whatever I would like to eat. How could you say I'm in darkness? How could you say I'm dead in my sins and trespasses? This is what we do not want to admit, but the existence of God is about discussion, speculation, and extrapolation. That's not our purpose. But the reality is that you and me are sinners. We are cut off, separated. There is an abyssal gulf between God and us. That's the first reality. There is one God, but we are separated from him. So what is the solution? What can we do? Then God said, that's my second heading. There is one mediator. Please again, I don't want to detain you too long on this, but when you read verse 5 in Greek again, there is something the English doesn't bring. If I could just put it in my poor English, because it's beautiful. The verse, as I said, there is no verb in the verse. But it is like if the verse is saying, the only God is also the only mediator. Which means what? That the Christ, the man Christ Jesus, which comes after, is whom? He is God. The only God is also the only mediator God, between God and between man. That's the reality of the text. So as you read it, you discover that Christ is indeed God. The one God is also the one mediator. Christ is the mediating medium between God and man. Not just between Jews and God, but between God and all men, all sorts of men, all kinds of men. That's the meaning. All types of men, rich, poor, whatever classification you can put there, everyone in every kind. There is a mediator, and Christ is that mediator. The need of a mediator, you know, reminds us what? We are not so good as we think we are. There is a bilateral enmity and hostility between God and us. Between God and us, there is hostility. We are enemies of God. We are cut off from him because he is righteous, he is holy, he is powerful, he is omniscient, he is omnipresent, omnibenevolent. He is far above our imagination. We cannot picture him. Our sins have erected a wall between God and us. My dear brothers and sisters, if you are a visitor and you have never been to church, the word mediator says it all. You know what is the meaning of that word? It means the appointed middleman, the appointed referee, the appointed ruler, the appointed arbiter to interpose himself between us, the polluted ones, the sinners who have rebelled ourselves against our Creator, and God who is holy. What can I do to please the living God? Mountains of good works wouldn't please him. That's why, because nobody could pay for our sins, the mediator must come. Please, can I say something? Salvation is by mediation, not by meditation. In some religions, they are involved in heavy, heavy meditation. Don't meditate. There is a mediation for you and me. We can find salvation. And Christ came, the Lord Jesus Christ came. He has all the attribute, the skill, and the qualities to mediate for us. He is not a sinner. He is not one of us, but he became one of us. You know why? In order to die, the righteous one dying for us, the unjust. Because we couldn't meditate. That was Job's question. Who could stand? Who could stand between God and me? Who could hold God's hand and hold man's hand and bring harmony, peace, and holiness between the two belligerents? There are two disputants. So we need a middleman, an appointed middleman. I couldn't do it. Job couldn't do it. An angel couldn't do it. The Pope couldn't do it. Mary couldn't do it. A man, a mere man couldn't do it. A mere woman couldn't do it. Angels couldn't do it. Millions of angels couldn't do it. The whole world put together couldn't mediate between God and man. Because there is no difference between us. We are in the same boat. Sinners from head to toe. Polluted from head to toe, sick from head to toe. So Christ came and he bridged that abyssal gap between God and us. Between one God and one man, there is only one mediator. Please allow me to say a few more things here. It's important. Christ is the mediator because he has three main offices, many of them, but I'm just listing three of them, and you know them, you have heard about them. He is our prophet, he is our priest, but he is also our king. So in order to be our mediator, he has to have those three offices. What is the office of a prophet? He brings to us the word of God. What is the office of a priest? He is the one who speaks to God about us. And guess what? He didn't just bring offerings to God for people. He is the one who gave himself. That's what verse 6 is telling us. He gave himself willingly. He had power to give himself, and he did it in order. But thirdly, Christ is our king, prophet to speak to us the word of God, priest to give himself as a living sacrifice, the sufficient, the substitutionary sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And third, he's the king. He's king of our souls. You have a soul. The soul is dormant until the day the Lord Jesus Christ wakes it from the dead. And then if your soul has never been raised from the dead, please allow me politely in the kindest way to say you are not a Christian. But the soul being raised from the dead, you are born again, you are adopted in the family of God, your sins are forgiven, and your life ends tonight. You know where you will be? In heaven, without any doubt, because your soul came out from the dead. And it is now with God. No religion. There is one God And the only religion which gives you such assurance is the religion of the Bible, because there is one God and one mediator, one go-between, one interpreter, one judge, and he is going to be the one who will judge the whole universe, the living and the dead. He is our King to reign of our hearts. He is the eternal Son of God. He has been ordained to be our mediator. Now, just in verse 5 again, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. Isn't that wonderful? He is God, but he's the last part of the verse says, the man, Christ Jesus. You see, it doesn't say the man, Jesus Christ. That could do it well, but it says the man, Christ, his divinity, Jesus, his humanity. One person, two natures, no confusion, no separation. The two natures in him, only in him, because he's fully God, he's fully man. He could represent us before God, and he could pay the price in order to forgive us and to purchase each one of us and to bring that harmony and peace between us and the living God. And guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't need the help. In offices, you have an assistant, but Christ doesn't have an assistant. He doesn't need a supplement. He doesn't need a second name. There is only one name, no other name. But he is the man, Christ Jesus, because he bore a body. He stood in the middle. He adjudicates for sinners. My dear friends, our matter is not social. Our matter, our problem is not economical. That could have been solved by the government. But our problem is not marital. It's not that we need. Our problem is spiritual. Oh, if I may speak to everyone, even to children, this is so important. Your problem is spiritual. We are cut off from God. And we need salvation. Christ intervened to meet our need and to fulfill God's righteous condition. He can represent both God and man because he is the God-man. Now I close by our third heading. How did he do it? Yes, we know there is one God, there is one mediator, but then what? He paid a ransom. And even if you have never read the Bible, you know that a ransom, according to the Bible, is a price that is required for a slave. We all were in the slave market. We were sold to Satan. We did according to his whims and according to his accord and according to his ways. We lived in rebellion. We were all children of rebellion. We lived for ourselves, and we are still living just for ourselves. But Christ paid the ransom. That's what verse 6 says. Who gave himself as a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, in perfect time, at the perfect right time, and when it was the most needed, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. The term ransom encompasses all the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. That single word, we could have spent the night on it. Ransom. A ransom was paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his mission. He offered himself. A price must be paid to set us free, because God wouldn't just and couldn't just close his eyes over our sins. The divine mediator, our divine mediator, laid down his life for sinners. In John chapter 10, he said, I give my life. I have power to give it, and I have power to take it. Nobody obliged the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he was pushed by men, But willingly, he went to the cross of Calvary. And I'm sure you know I said this many times. I just cannot believe that Jesus Christ going to the cross head down. He went there as the victor. He went there as our champion. He went there as our captain. He went there as our commander. That's why on the third day, while he was put in that grave, by his own power, he raised himself from the dead. So when you come to him tonight, if you come to him tonight, you believe in a living Savior. A living Savior. He can talk. A dead God or dead prophets are dead. Leave them to be dead and they will remain dead. But we have a living Savior. And you come to him, he will also raise your life from the dead. Christ forfeited his life on behalf of others. You cannot pay for it. No one could pay for it. The whole human race put together couldn't pay for it. So Christ is the mediator for all kinds of people. And one ransom was paid for all kinds of people. He wants all kinds and races of people to be saved. He made the perfect sacrifice, substitutional, but also sufficient. The ransom paid is still valid tonight. That's why we preach the gospel to you. And so we beseech you by the mercies of God, come to the Lord. Why would you die? I put life and death before you. You know, I read the Bible for 30 years now, but I have never seen a verse where God says choose death or choose hell. Never. Come to life, he says. Why are we so stubborn? And we see life, but we say, no, I want death. Come to the cisterns, the rivers of waters, and drink freely. Salvation is free because no man can pay for it. And do you see something? It said in verse 6 again, who gave himself a ransom for all, you and me included. You are excluded if you exclude yourself. God doesn't exclude you tonight. Anyone, everyone here, God doesn't exclude you unless you exclude you. Yes, I heard, Mr. Preacher, I heard what you are saying. Thank you. I live my life as I want. Then, believe me, God says you will be more accountable. You will be more responsible. So my pleading with you is come, repent. Swallow your pride. Trust in this mediator who paid the price. And he suffered on the cross of Calvary, not because he deserved to suffer on that cross, but because he had you in his mind, if you believe in him. He wrote your name in the Lamb Book of Life, if you have come to him, and if you believe in him. So come, is it difficult for you to come? Unless you do not want, so you are included. The ransom is still valid. Please don't go looking for another one. There is none. Christ is the perfect sacrifice of God. At the right time, Christ died for sinners. Please allow me to close. At the beginning of my sermon tonight, I said there is not a single word of lie in what the Bible says. Not a word of lie. You can trust it. You can trust this message that there is one God, one mediator between God and man. The man Jesus Christ is that mediator. And he gave himself a ransom for all. And he came in due time at the perfect time. So if I believe in him, I cleave to him, he will save me. The message is factual. The message is truthful. And the message has millions and millions of witnesses. And it has proved itself for millenniums. This is the only message aped by everyone, but never matched. Imitation. Satan apes the message. Religions are only aping the message of the Bible, but they cannot match it. Because only one God, only one mediator is God, and he became a man in order to pay for each one of us if we have believed in him and if we come to him in true repentance. What does repentance mean? I change my mind about God, about myself, about my sins, about this world, and I ask for wisdom. Wisdom is to have a good view about the word of God, about yourself and about sin. That's really repentance. And then there is a U-turn in my life. I'm not going towards the same way anymore, but now I cry unto God to save me. Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Please, can I ask you, believe in this only one gospel. This is the mediator. Plead this mediator. Believe in him, for there is no other mediator in heaven and on earth. He has never lost a case. That's why he said, no man can pluck you out of his hands. If he saves you, he will keep you till the end. So you are not excluded. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord for all kinds of people. Please, depend on the oneness of God. Depend on the singularity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But depend also on the uniqueness of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. There is no other one to depend on. You can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't depend on an end way. A way that has an end. How could you? You will fall somewhere. But Christ said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. You come to him, you have everlasting life. There is one God, one mediator, one ransom, one gospel, one message. Come to the Lord. Come to that ransom. Christ paid the price, and it is sufficient. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come before thee to give thee thanks. Lord, these things overwhelm us. They are beyond our grasp. They are beyond our understanding. But from thy word, we know all is true, that thou hast made a way for us, and there is a mediator. There is one who loved us and gave himself for us. So we pray that this night will be a night for a sinner. Not because the preacher said it, but because the gracious Holy Spirit is the mighty one to bring us on our knees and to look unto that sacrifice and to plead the merits of that mediator. Lord, do good to our souls by saving us. We pray and ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's close by singing our last hymn number 381. Hymn number 300.